they're getting ready for the communion, the first Sunday of March, which I guess is 2 Sundays away. Yeah, this Sunday and then the next Sunday is the first Sunday. Wow, had a short month. March the 2nd, and in honor of Texas Independence Day, bring a dish that Texans like, barbecue, chili, enchiladas, that type of thing. Ooh. And that'll be for communion. Dinner after we have a communion service on March the 2nd, Sunday evening. So, okay, do we have any prayer requests that came in the, you know, since last night that we need to be made aware of? Okay. Well, let's get ready for the studies of Scripture, enter into war. What we're in the midst of studying, it's that which has always been and that which has always been avoided, mainly because the flesh can't do it. And that's why the church will always come up with so many other solutions for human relationships. And this is what we're in the midst of studying, are human relationships. And when I say human relationships, I just mean from the standpoint that we, in this realm, but it can be the human relationship with God, and the human relationship with others, and with others here, be they unbelievers or believers, and then relationship with self. And what we're looking at is how the world views what has to happen in regard to make a human relationship harmonious and profitable for each other, edifying for each other. And what we're looking at is what is God's solution. And it's just one of those things that people always, yeah, but. And then they go on and add a great deal of other things. And it's difficult just to say, yes, that's it. Whether we're talking about salvation or something in regard to human relationship. So let's spend a few moments in prayer. Remember that the true teacher is God the Holy Spirit. He is the one who teaches. I'm not the one who teaches, he is. And so let's be sure that we are trusting in the Holy Spirit to perform that which he was sent here to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to open up the Scriptures and to examine them and to see, Heavenly Father, that which you have given to us through the power of your Spirit. That is the great issue, Heavenly Father, in our relationships with each other. One of the most difficult things, Heavenly Father, is the assembly living with each other, Christians living with each other, the multitude of things that the world and the flesh and the devil brings in between and causes to always lift its ugly head between believers. And so, Father, we now, as we examine Scripture, we pray that your Spirit will enlighten us in your answer, what you have given to us in regard to the relationships that we have with each other. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, again, just things we've noted, there's just a multitude of things in Scripture that are very interesting to know. It is very interesting to know a lot in regard to things in the spiritual warfare. There are a lot of things that are interesting to know in regard to eschatology, when Jesus Christ returns. For example, the division of the land and how it will be divided in the promised land in the ultimate of the Davidic covenant, where God promised the land, how it's all going to be divided and which tribes are where. What Christ is going to do when he comes into and steps down in Jerusalem and opens up a waterway from the Mount of Olives all the way over to the Mediterranean Sea. These things are fascinating, interesting, and they are extremely encouraging. But none of these things are going to have the impact in your daily life, and none of these things are going to have that impact in regard when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And people, every one of you will. Every one of us will. We're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to have our lives evaluated by Jesus Christ. And those are the kinds of things that we look into the Scripture for when we stand there. And he isn't going to say, okay, here's a map, draw me the tribe of Zebulun, what area of land they're going to get. He's not going to ask you that. He's not going to ask you to describe how the waterway opened up from the Mount of Olives. He's not going to ask you that. What he is going to deal with, though, is our relationship with him, our relationship with each other. He's going to deal with things that affect our everyday life, every day. There are just a few things that we can study, in my opinion, that affect every day that you and I live, and this is it. This is that which will affect every day, every relationship that you have in life, your relationship with God, all three members of the Godhead, God the Father, our relationship with him, God the Son, and, of course, God the Holy Spirit, our relationship with each of the members of the Godhead, and then our relationship with each other, relationship between husband and wife, relationship, love to be able to get with teens now, because some of the big problems with teens is in dealing with each other in the physical realm. Understanding what is it that God has given to us in dealing with each other. And we saw last Wednesday night, there's just a multitude of books that are written dealing with it. And what you're going to have to do is you have to know each other. The typical thing between a man and woman, my wife doesn't understand me. This person doesn't understand me. If they just understood me. And so what we want to do then is spend our life in books, and we want to read about the male, about the female. We want to spend our life learning about that person and all these type of things, and people, you're never going to get there. I don't care how many books you read. No book can gather up, outside of one book, no book can gather up the complication that makes up that inside of an individual is the new man and the old man. And what happens when the old man pops its ugly head, when the new man is in control. All of these types of things. So then what am I supposed to do? What is it that's going to cause the husband to be aware or whatever relationship, social relationship, work, that is going to cause me to be in tune? You just didn't think about this and you didn't understand what I was going through. And if you just understood me and understood how I am, and that's how those kind of books and those kind of movements get started and become so popular. I'm this way, I'm the way I am because I am male, and then that excuses it. That excuses it. And so the woman is supposed to, okay, because you're a man or male, that's why you do what you do. And then because you're a female, that's why you do what you do. Wrong. That's not an excuse. God has given to us something that transcends our sexual being. Transcends our being of male and female. We don't need to read a lot of books. People, you don't need to read a lot of books to be sensitive to your spouse, to your family, to friends, to people. You don't need to read a lot of books. God has given to us a power, a source, a force inside of us that will cause you to be. If you will allow this life, spiritual love, to flow through. So we have a multitude of relationships. You know, what's going on? Well, what is it? What is it that I can go to that is going to direct me in that human relationship? What is it that's going to direct me on how I ought to act and how I ought to be sensitive? What's going to guide me? People, it's not going to be just simple knowledge of Scripture. I've got news for you. And I'll show you that. We're looking at it right now in our study. It's not going to be. It's not going to be righteousness. Or you just always deal in righteousness. If you just know enough doctrine. Well, the reason you're not having a good relationship, you don't know enough doctrine. People, I know people with just tons of doctrine. And they're the rudest people you'll ever want to meet. And I'm talking about they can give you dissertations. That isn't going to cut it. And there are people who are pure and righteous as they can be, and they are so, so, so harmful to other people. They are rude. They judge. They're so superior with their righteousness. There are people who have service. There are people, all kinds of things. Many things are going to do it. And Scripture tells us exactly what it is that will do it. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, and this is what we're in the midst of looking at, a life without love. 1 Corinthians 1, if I speak with the language of men and angels but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or an echoing sound and a clanging cymbal. In other words, I draw attention to myself. Verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and the whole of mysteries or the whole of knowledge, but do not have love. And then he makes a very profound statement that most people don't want to make. This is where this denial of 1 John 1:8 comes into play. I'm learning that it really comes into play a great deal in our Christian life. But this is a very difficult thing to say. I am nothing. And that's what he says. I don't care. You have the whole of knowledge, the whole of the mystery. And that's an awesome concept, to have all knowledge of Scripture. And have all that knowledge and then say, I am nothing without spiritual life. This is what is going to be the kicker. This is what Paul is here dealing with. So in our human relationships, now we're looking at that in 1 Corinthians 8. So if you'll open your text to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, this is where we're here now, where we left off last Wednesday evening. Get a little more done on Wednesday evening than we do on Tuesday. Spend a little more time together in the Scripture. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. By the way, I don't mean that I digress the prayer time. Not at all. That's powerful. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, what Paul is dealing with here are human relationships, specifically Christians. The relationship between believers in relationship with each other. Not just in the assembly. Not just in the assembly, but at work, in social, in the community. All relationships with believers. And there are just going to be a multitude of things. Paul picks one. Eating of meat, because that was a problem in Corinth. We don't have that problem today in regard to having idolatrous temples with a restaurant in front of them. But he picked it. And the point is, there could be a multitude of 100 things that whatever we can just come up with in inner relationships with each other. And this is what Paul is here dealing with. People, what is going to guide you? What is going to guide you and guide us in our relationships with each other? If I learn enough doctrine, if I learn enough knowledge, if I just consume myself, am I somehow then going to be guided and I will know what to do in every circumstance because here is the written word on it? No. If I am pure enough and if I just strive to everything that I do, I be pure. Is that going to guide me? No. What is it that is going to guide? And this is what we're studying now. And Paul is putting it in three aphorisms. The aphorism are maxims, and they're statements that are not elaborated. They're not elaborated. This is the kind of thing Paul walks off and people can argue and fight over an aphorism. It's just a statement that is given. This is the way John generally writes the Gospels and first in the epistles and Revelation. He uses a lot of aphorisms. But Paul now uses three aphorisms. But he starts with a premise. And the premise is in verse 1. Here's the premise in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Now concerning the things sacrificed to idols. Now here is the premise. We know that we all have knowledge. Okay. We all have knowledge. We know that. We all have knowledge. So we know that. We're going to start with that. And now Paul makes some statements, some aphorisms, and he's going to make some aphorisms about knowledge without love. Because what is happening is, okay, I've got knowledge, and knowledge is going to guide me. And I have enough knowledge to know that I could eat of the meat offered in these temples, these idolatrous temples, where they have the restaurant. I can go in there and eat, and I know it. I have the knowledge. Well, I have knowledge, and my knowledge says, you are wrong in doing so, you are out of line, and I'm going to judge you, and I'm going to malign you, and I'm going to cause trouble. And I'm going to do it because I have knowledge. I have knowledge, and I'm going to judge and malign you. I have knowledge, and I don't care if you judge and malign me. I can go in and eat. So we all have knowledge. Okay, now, let's lay that aside. Now let's look at some aphorisms about knowledge, some maxims about knowledge. And this is what Paul is now doing. Knowledge without love. People, knowledge without love is very dangerous. Purity, morality without spiritual love is very dangerous. Service without spiritual love is dangerous. Emotionalism, emoting in your relationship with God without spiritual love is dangerous. Now, he looked at his first aphorism. He doesn't develop it, just lays it out there. Here's his first aphorism. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. That's the first maxim. That's the first aphorism that Paul uses. So he makes a statement about it. It makes arrogant. And we studied this word last Wednesday night. It means to puff up. It means to make an issue out of you, much like in 1 Corinthians 13:1, the echoing sound that draws attention to you, the clanging noise that draws attention to you. Hey, everybody, look at me. See, this is what's going on. People, without spiritual love, you're just a noise. You're just a noise. Not even a pretty noise. Not like a beautiful symphony. You're just a noise, irritating noise to the ears of God and to the ears in the spiritual warfare. That's all you are. I don't care how much you know. I don't care how pure you are, how righteous you are, how much you serve, how much you emote. It's just a big noise. It's called noise pollution in our society. And that's all you are. Oh, boy. Yeah, I can't believe you're talking against knowledge of doctrine that way. Boy, I just can't believe. People, I'm not. This is Paul. It's the Word of God here in this aspect. It's just a noise. That's a hard thing to say. I am nothing. I'm just a big noise. But if we can stand back, nobody's asking you to get up and give a testimony, I am nothing, I'm a big noise, probably because somebody close to you would say amen. But what you want to do this inside your own soul. You want to be able to say, you want to stop denying. I have been in the process of thinking because I have all this knowledge or because I'm so pure, or because I do this and I do that for God, I'm really important. But you know what? It's a big noise. It's drawing attention to myself, and when I look at myself, I'm ugly. Little baby cries. It's people look, smile, laugh, unless they're on a plane and they did the whole trip. But and generally, a baby will cry and people look, and that's good. That's okay. Watch an adult throw a little temper tantrum. Watch it. It's not attractive. But what happens? Let's say you're in some public place and you throw the temper tantrum and all eyes are focused and they see how ugly you are. This is what we are without spiritual life. Now, we may not be throwing a temper tantrum. Maybe we're exalting our knowledge. Maybe we're exalting our purity. Maybe we're exalting our service. But everybody's just looking and shaking their head. Now, those that are impressed with knowledge, they're going to be impressed. Those impressed with service or righteousness, they're going to be. But in the spiritual warfare, it's just a big noise. Now, in our study to these people, knowledge makes them superior. Knowledge makes them superior, and they know that they can go in there and they can eat the meat that is offered to idols. They know it. To them, knowledge is power. To them, knowledge is superior. It is superior to love. the spiritual life. Now, remember, and I don't think I have to do this to this group here, but this isn't making a statement in any way negative to the Word of God or knowledge. If you are walking in the Spirit, people, He will lead you to grow in wisdom and in knowledge. He will do that. Don't misunderstand what Paul is saying or my emphasis on it. He will lead you to that. He will lead you to righteousness. He will lead you to service. He will lead you to these things. But what these people think is that knowledge is superior. It's superior. It is the ultimate. It is the ultimate, even to love. The problem here is not knowledge or the absence of it. The problem here is the absence of spiritual love. Without spiritual love, knowledge, or any of your list, what happens? You become hard. You become insensitive, proud, drawing attention to yourself. People, these things without spiritual love feed your superiority. And this is why spiritual love is so difficult, and we've seen this before. Spiritual love is not going to exalt you. In fact, spiritual love may make you look like a fool. Christ looked like a fool hanging on a cross to the world. Spiritual love may cost you a great deal. See, if I have knowledge or service or righteousness and or emotion, and I'm putting all my stock on those things to exalt me, they exalt me, they build me up. We like to listen to somebody who's got knowledge. If we're in need, we like to be served with a Christian who has a spiritual gift in the area where we need it. So let's be honest about why spiritual gifts are given. They're given because we're all going to have needs in various areas. And when you have a need, it's really nice to have somebody who has a gift of help to come and help when you need it. It's very nice. And you know, that is serving. But what all of these things do, they have a tendency of making you look very good. Spiritual love, people, will make you not look so good, and we'll see that. Because spiritual love will say, you're right, but you're not going to do what you have the right to do. Spiritual love is going to say the other person is totally wrong, but I'm not going to eat. That's what spiritual love will do. And it makes you look the weak one. Here's this weak person controlling you. Well, I'm not going to let that person that's a legalist, religious self-righteous legalist, control me. I'm not going to do that. Spiritual love doesn't think that way. Not in a marriage, not in a family, not in any relationships that we have in human life. Spiritual love is going to guide. So, you have these things, these other things, any list. Knowledge is what he picked here because that's what they were banking on in Corinth. It draws attention to person. They had a big problem with knowledge. By the way, knowledge or wisdom is a great part of the spiritual warfare that we're involved in right now throughout the church age. And we'll see that more in Revelation, but that's part of the great battle. Knowledge without spiritual love makes you a non-entity in the spiritual warfare, no matter what you may think of yourself. Without spiritual love, you are a non-entity. That's what the phrase is, I am nothing. You don't even count. You're not even a good bench warmer. It is nothing. You're a non-entity in this conflict that's going on, and I know you think you're very important and you think you're great. And it's very difficult to get somebody who's putting all their stocks in one of their lists. But without spiritual love, you are a non-entity. And that's a difficult thing. All of these things are difficult to say. I am nothing. I'm a non-entity. I'm a noise. But how wonderful it is when we are in the privacy of our own soul, and we'll be spiritual enough in our relationship with the Holy Spirit to say, that's me. Because I've been banking on this list, and I don't have spiritual life. So this is what Paul is here dealing with. But if you use these things, use it to control. People with knowledge like to control those without it. People who are righteous like to control those who are not so righteous as they are. People who serve like to control those who don't serve. People who emote like to control those who emote. By definition, they're going to do those things without spiritual life. And spiritual love is going to be the great issue. Spiritual love is going to guide now in all of these relationships. All right, firstly, now let's take a look at the second half of the first aphorism. The first half is knowledge makes arrogant, puffs you up. Now let's look at the second half. This is the first aphorism, first maxim. We're not to the second one yet. But love edifies. And again, he's talking about spiritual love, not human love. He's talking about only the love that only the Holy Spirit gives. Now, the word for love here, agapao, it's our word we've been studying all along in the New Commandment. It's the biblical word. This is the love for which Christ has loved you. And here's another quality, another impact of spiritual love. We're going to study 16 in 1 Corinthians 13, but people, we get through, we're just going to have an inexhaustible list of why the new commandment of spiritual love is just going to cover your whole life, the things that spiritual love does. And here's another impact, another effect of spiritual love. Where does that come from? Remember that spiritual love is a spiritual force. And as a spiritual force, which, by the way, a force is the interaction between two objects, you and another believer in this case, you and another person. All right, spiritual love is a spiritual force. As a spiritual force, it has the three properties of a force, and one of those is direction. And right now we're looking at the direction of our relationship with others, husband, wife, family, friends, romance, work, social, whatever. See, people, by my nature, you know, some people are this and some people are that. Some people are critical. Some people are quick. All these types of things, those are no excuses. What spiritual love does, spiritual love has a direction. A direction is going to be toward others. Then as spiritual love, it has magnitude. And the magnitude of spiritual love is the measurability. It's the measurability of love. And love can be measured. No greater love hath any man than this that he will lay down. You must love me more than. A lot of things we've looked at for magnitude, the measurability. What does this tell us? It tells us that love can be increased. It tells us that our love can be increased. The magnitude of our spiritual love can be increased throughout our life. Okay, then the third thing that a force has is impact or effect. Now, what we're looking at in the impact or the effect, we're going to see 16 of them in 1 Corinthians 13. 16, but people think it's all over, and right here is one of them. Love edifies. So right now, we haven't even got to 1 Corinthians 13 in that list, and we've already found one. Love edifies. So this is the first thing that we're noting that spiritual love does in a human relationship. Remember, right now, Paul is dealing with human relationships. I think we're all interested in human relationships with our husbands, our wives, our friends, people in life. Relationship. I want to improve my relationship. I wish I hadn't done this. I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I'd have been more thoughtful. I wish that this and that and on and on and on. So I'm going to have to really work on it, and I'm going to have to get some books. No, 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 no. God has given to us something far greater than any book in dealing with each other. And that's what we're in the midst of looking at, spiritual love. And what spiritual love will do, by the very nature of this force, it is the nature of this force to edify. Just think about it. It's the nature of this force. This is what it will do. Spiritual love, when it flows from the Holy Spirit through you, it will edify. It will do that. Now, what does the word mean that we have here? It's a present verb, the present active indicative, or koidomeo. And it looks like this, oikodomeo. This is O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E long O. Oikodomeo. Word means to build. That's what the word means. Oikodomeo means to build. So this word means to build. This is what love will do. Spiritual love will build. The word means to build up. The verb means to strengthen, but it means more than just to strengthen. It means to establish. okay, I want to build up or I want to establish my marriage. How can I establish or build, strengthen my marriage? Here it is. Oh, yeah, but people, this is why people try everything else and go over all these other books. We won't just stop here. This is what God has given us. If we will walk by faith and allow the Spirit to pour in, spiritual love is such a spiritual force that it will actually edify or build up that relationship. It will build up what is going on. So it means to establish. So another impact of the force of spiritual love, and by the way, I want to take this building up, this edifying. So let's get over here. Spiritual love, but I want to show you a lot of things. Spiritual love edifies. This is what spiritual love does. It means to build up. Hope you all have that in your mind now. It means to build up. This is another impact of spiritual love, and this happens. And I'll just kind of lay out where we're going to be going with this. This happens in two areas. This happens, one, inside your own soul. The first place that is edified is you. Then secondly, spiritual love edifies your relationships. And I'm including a relationship even with Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God, but primarily in our study with each other. So spiritual love edifies. First of all, we're going to see it edifies inside of you. It edifies or strengthens or builds up your life. We'll just put here your life. People, if we could just get into our mind what God has given to us, when He's given to us spiritual love, everything people want in their life is right here. And all you have to do is walk by faith in the Spirit and He pours it in. But we drop it and think, well, no, I've got to go read a book. I've got to understand this person. I've got to be understood. All of this type of thing. People, you want to be sensitive to somebody in life, let the Holy Spirit do it. Don't try to wisdom your way through this thing. Spiritual love is beyond understanding. The Holy Spirit knows what your husband, wife, friend, family, work. The Holy Spirit knows what they need. And they walk with, boy, I don't even know where that came from. Why did I say that there? Because walking in faith in the Spirit, He knows what that person is. Remember what we saw. Every person needs spiritual love. There isn't a human being on earth, there isn't a creature on earth that doesn't need spiritual love. We all need it. We need the effect of it. And when you walk in the filling of the Spirit, this will flow. But right now, it's something that goes on inside of you. So this is another impact of spiritual love. Another reason why spiritual love is the more excellent way, another reason why it's the goal of the Christian love. Now it edifies. We could have put that with that long list we had at the beginning. Let's take a look at what Paul is saying in his first aphorism. Let's take a look. Knowledge alone. Let me show you what he's saying now. His first aphorism. I'm going to use a K for knowledge. Knowledge, and I'm going to put alone, because I don't want you to think we don't want knowledge. But knowledge left alone, without spiritual love, knowledge alone has an effect in your soul. I want you to understand that. It does have an effect in your soul. Knowledge alone has an effect in your soul. You know what that effect is? The effect of knowledge alone inside your soul. You know what it's going to do inside your soul? It's going to make you arrogant. It's going to build you up, puff you up. That's what he's saying. Knowledge without spiritual love, it will have an effect in your soul. You're going to become arrogant. It's going to puff you up. Now what he's saying is spiritual love. Spiritual love has an effect in your soul. Knowledge has an effect in your soul, makes you arrogant. spiritual loss has an effect, an impact, whatever word we want to use. I like the word impact. Has an impact in your soul. And you know what it does? It edifies your soul. It edifies inside of you. This is powerful, what God has given to us. It means to build. Akoto means to build, means to construct, as in building a house. If we think of it this way quickly, we can kind of get into our mind how and what this word means and all the dimensions of it. I'm not going to go through 50 points on our word study of the word. We could and go through a lot of passages, but if you think of it this way, you're going to build a house. Let's say that you're at that position now, and you are going to build your own house. So now the first decision that you're going to have to make in regard to building your house is, the first thing you're going to have to ask yourself is, what kind? What kind of a house do I want? This is going to determine everything else. This is going to determine who you get to build it. This is going to determine the material. This is going to determine all these other things. What kind of house? It will determine who's going to build it for you. See? You want to build, I want a house, and our house is going to be a log cabin. Okay. You know your material. It's going to guide you on who to go get. Going to go get somebody that knows about building a log cabin, knows how to put all the logs right and all the proper mud packs in between and all the stuff you got to do to build a log cabin. Want to build a brick house, all right? You've already set the course who you need to go to for your material and for having it built. Want to build a house by the sea? That's going to be an entirely different deal. Want to build a house up in the mountains? So all these type of things determine a lot of decisions you're going to have to make. I want a stone house. Okay? You've already set it up. I'm going to have to find somebody who knows how to deal with stone. So just making that decision answers a great deal in your life. Now, as you do that, then you decide on your builder. Okay, let's look at it in the spiritual realm. The house you want to build is inside your soul. And this is what a lifetime is. This is what we do in a lifetime, is we're building a house in our soul. Now, do you want in your soul, do you want it built by the flesh or the spirit? Do you desire a house of spiritual love? If so, that is going to determine if you want a house that is built by spiritual love. Now, this is your material. Now, you've got to go to the builder, and there's only one builder for this, and that's the Holy Spirit. So you have it all answered right here. I've got to go to the Holy Spirit to build this house. See? So if then the builder is going to be the Holy Spirit, and the material is going to be spiritual love, all you have to do now is to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, constantly, consistently, always getting back into the Holy Spirit, and that's what we're studying on Tuesday night, and He will build inside of you. He will edify. He will build this structure inside of you. Love edifies. It builds. And the first place that it builds people is inside. Now, why am I emphasizing this? Because so often people think love is always that which is going out to someone else. The Word of God, Scripture, is very important, very clear on this. There are two sides in regard to spiritual love. And the first is so often inside of the believer. The impact or the effect of love. I'll show you this when we get to the list. The first thing that it said, love is long-suffering. Okay, love is long-suffering. Where does long-suffering take place? Inside your soul. People, until you are long-suffering, stable and long-suffering, you won't be kind to another person. So if I want kindness, which is that which is now going to flow out from me, this is outside of me, but this can't come from within unless I'm long-suffering. But if I'm short on suffering people, I'm going to lash out. I'm going to seek revenge. I'm going to get even. I'm going to straighten you out. All the things that happen. So the first effect is something that goes on inside of us. The first effect of spiritual love, the first thing that this love that God has given to us, the first effect is on the inside. This is in contrast with knowledge that puffs up or makes arrogant. But it is the nature of spiritual love that inside of you, it's going to build you up. Spiritual love that we're talking about is not something for others. Love that we're talking about is a force that has a great impact and a number of impacts inside of you. It's a miracle. It is a living miracle when spiritual love starts transforming your life. And pretty soon you start seeing the 16 impacts that we're studying in 1 Corinthians 13 and plus many more. And you start actually seeing these things occur in your life. It just boggles your mind at what is going on inside of you. The Christian world just really hasn't grasped this thing of love. And that's why they have so much problem in understanding God. God is love. The least understood of the attributes of God. And one of the reasons why is because people don't understand omniscience. That's easy. I can work on omniscience. I know what that means. That means God is all-knowing, and I can put a lot of stuff on this board. If I put righteousness or holiness, and I put righteousness and justice, I can get my teeth into that. I can tell you what those words mean. I can tell you what righteousness means. I can tell you what justice means. I can tell you what sovereignty means. I don't know what it means. Maybe emotion. Then you begin to touch it. See, but this is the least understood. This is one of the most important attributes. I told you a couple of Sundays ago how the love of God is actually the object of faith. It's the only attribute that I have found so far. I did a word search with my computer with a great number of the attributes. This is the only attribute. If you find one, let me know. This is the only attribute that I could find in Scripture that says, I trust in your love. Now, there are a multitude I trust in you. I look for I trust your righteousness. I look for I trust your faithfulness. I look for I trust your love. I couldn't find it. Now, this doesn't mean, and I'm very clear on this, doesn't mean we don't trust the total that God is. I'm just pointing out to you, I think it's significant that this is the only attribute that actually says, I trust your love. And in all three of those contexts, it was dealing with some form of salvation or deliverance. I trust your love. We don't understand it. And this is the most important. This is why people will go after some of these other things. They'll go after the holiness of the righteousness, and they'll go after the knowledge of the omniscience, and they'll go after these other things. I put my teeth into that. Can't put the teeth. And people, that's, if you can think with me, that's why it's this love that's going to guide you in all the circumstances. There isn't a doctrine to guide you in everything you do in life. Should I do this? Should I do that? What should I do right now? My wife is upset, or this is going on, or this person's hurting, or I'm going to be in confrontation with this person. I'm going to be in this person. I want to know how to act now. What doctrines do I want to know? Walk by faith in the Spirit. Trust the Spirit to pour this love in, and love's going to guide you. I don't believe that. I just can't trust that. I've got to know. I've got to have a hand on. And then you'll never have this love, people. Sorry. You'll never have it. And this is why so many people reject this love. This is why the scribes and Pharisees rejected it. What's the number one commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and love one another. They rejected that because what? Because they couldn't do that. What does that mean? Does that mean we're sloppy? Does that mean we're weak? Does that mean we're this, that? But if I deal with you on righteousness or purity, I know what to do. If you sin, I'll cut your throat. I know how to deal with you on service. If you're not serving, I'm going to get you in a program to make you serve. If you're not emoting, I can get you to emote. But I don't know about this stuff. If this person I'm coming in contact with, I can straighten them out, and I can teach them doctrine, and I can hear them this, and I can tell them that. But I don't know about this stuff. And yet, people, this is what every spouse needs. This is what every teenager needs to know. This is what will guide you in relationships, in junior high, high school, all through life. If we can learn to be guided by this love, it will make you sensitive to the needs of others, and you will sacrifice for their needs. This is what God has given to us for this purpose. So, right now, 1 Corinthians 8, love edifies the believer. We get to a list in 1 Corinthians 8 of all the things that edify. Go on inside of you. Long-suffering, not jealous, not arrogant, not provoked, not taking into account when wrong. That's powerful. Something, a force that is inside of you. People, I'm not talking about a doctrine inside of you that does not consider when wrong. I'm talking about a force called love. This is not something you decide to do. I'm not going to be offended by what that person did to me. You're offended. But when you're walking in love, love will not. Do you get the difference? This is not something I do. This is something that spiritual love does. Spiritual love does not consider a wrong. Love is the subject here, not you. And if you are empowered by this love, by spiritual love flowing through you, then you won't be. Because you are by this love possessed. This is the characteristic of love. This is not the characteristic of you. This is not the characteristic of knowledge. This is not the characteristic of righteousness, and by that I mean a moral life. This is not the characteristic of service. This is the characteristic of love. Love does not consider when wrong. It doesn't fall apart. And when you don't fall apart when someone wrongs you and they keep wronging you, you're going to look like a fool to your friends, to the world. But not before God. So get this in your soul. This is what spiritual love does. This isn't something I'm going to possess. This is something, this is a force that is, that's why I'm sure there are other ways of using it, but I like the force. It's a spiritual force inside of you that when it's there, this is what will happen. It's like putting on the whole armor of Christ. When you put on the whole armor of Christ, there are things that will happen and things that will not happen. When you do not have on the armor of Christ, these things will not be there. The same thing is here with spiritual life. And that principle. The best way I know how to tell you what's going on inside you. It edifies, it does all these things inside of the believer. So, all of these are the impact of love. You want something that will affect me? People, what people want is, I want to read a book and I want to know how to change my partner. I want to know how to purge out of them what I don't like. I want to know how to get them to see how things, how I see it. I want to control them. That's the flesh. What spiritual love says is, this person's the way they are. Something's got to happen inside of me. I can't change them. Something's got to happen inside of me. I've got to be changed. And spiritual love changes you. Spiritual love alchemizes you. Doesn't change your partner. Doesn't change your friend, changes you. Let's say they're obnoxious, they're going to continue to be obnoxious. Unless spiritual love is flowing through them. Hopefully spiritual love will flow through them. But we have to deal with the worst case. That's what you deal with in this kind of deal. Because if they're working in spiritual love and you're working in spiritual love, well, you're just happy. But we got to deal with when the old man sticks his head up. And the flesh comes in. And spiritual love doesn't consider when wronged. the second did. It isn't going to act unbecoming, but that's overt. Okay, so not rejoice. It does not rejoice in not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in righteousness. Spiritual love bears all things. Bears when people hurt you. Bears when they're wrong to you. Believes all things. We'll come to what that means. That's powerful. Hope all things. Spiritual love endures all things. Can you imagine what God has given to us when He pours His spiritual love? He's given us something that will endure all things. That boggles the mind. I like the kid, you know, we're still looking for one pill, and you take the one pill, and boom, the fat goes away, and you can just eat forever, eat whatever you want, and you don't get fat, and you're always up, and this one pill, it does everything. There's no such thing. It's coming next year. There's no such thing, see? It just is for you. It's spiritual love that comes to you when you walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. It can do all these things for you. It can do all these things. But it's like, it's if I could say without analogy, it's like some very good diet or weight program or energy program. You got to take it. If you don't take it, it won't be any good. God has given to every Christian the ability of spiritual love. He's put inside of you the Holy Spirit. He's given you faith. But if you don't walk by faith in the Spirit, then spiritual love won't be there. And you're going to try all kinds of ways to have these relationships work, keep on working. So all these things are going on inside of you. But not only that, spiritual love not only builds up and edifies inside of you, but outside. Spiritual love is just an unbelievable building material, and the Holy Spirit's an unbelievable builder. I just can't say it any better than that. Spiritual love is an unbelievable building material, building your life, building your soul, building your relationship with others. Can it just be this miraculous? Yes, this is what Scripture says. I believe this with all my soul. It can and is. And the Holy Spirit is an unbelievable builder. And we can't even begin to touch what the Holy Spirit can do, what only He can do. So therefore, we have to let Him build up inside of us with the spiritual love, and we do that by walking by faith. Spiritual love edifies your life, but it also edifies outside of you. It edifies relationships. To put it in a simple term, spiritual love edifies. If nothing else grabs you, spiritual love edifies the body of Christ. It builds up the body of Christ. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, all will know that you are mine, if you love one another as I have loved you. This builds up the body of Christ. This edifies the body of Christ. It builds it up. It doesn't tear it down. It doesn't destroy it. It builds it up. It doesn't tear it down. It doesn't destroy it. It doesn't compete. It doesn't cause the friction. It builds up the body of Christ. That's what spiritual love does. If these other things, people, were at the point that spiritual love is, then let me assure you, our Savior would have said, a new commandment I give to you, that you all learn the same doctrine, and by this all will know that you're mine. A new commandment I give to you, that you walk in perfect righteousness, you're absolutely moral, and by this all will know that you're mine. Didn't say those things. He said love, as I have loved you. Not as you love yourself, but as I have loved you. So therefore, spiritual love edifies the body of Christ. It edifies relationships that we have in life with others, believer or unbeliever. Arrogance does not build up. It does not edify. You have to understand, the knowledge, the arrogance that comes from knowledge does not build up. Arrogance builds you up. Spiritual love edifies the whole body of Christ. You're part in it. It's what it's given for. it becomes very crucial. So I want to go to another passage, and this would be a good place to take our break and wait for this other passage I want you to look at with me. So I want to develop it a little bit and go through some things in it. So let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is, what a joy it is to study these things, to allow the Spirit to illuminate these things and reveal these things to us. It just seems that something so simple as love would just be so simple to see, but it's like faith, Heavenly Father. The veil has to be lifted in order to see. All you're looking for from us is our faith. And if we will but walk in that faith in your Spirit, then he will pour this love through us. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for the God that you are, that you care about our human relationships, that there is so much in the New Testament written about our human relationships with each other as well as with you. It becomes so great an issue with our relationship with each other. And we care about it. We know, Heavenly Father, when we've hurt a relationship, we know when we've strengthened a relationship, and it is our objective and goal that we walk in the Spirit and that therefore edify not only our soul, but our relationships in life. We praise you, Heavenly Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.